You're listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.
You have tuned in to Open Mic on CJSF Radio, broadcasting from 90.1 FM from Burnaby Mountain, BC.
It is 10 a.m. on August 23rd, 2026. Stay safe from the BC wildfires, as more than 130 are burning in the province, from what I understand. Welcome to episode 34 of the Steve Chong Show in 2026, part of Open Mic, on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. There will be another set of independent music, commentary on SFU Athletics, feature on the Northwest League, updates on the Western Lacrosse Association, and the latest on the Surrey Police transition. First up is Karen's Violences with Vases Close. That was Vases Close from Karen's Violences. Next up is Chaos Panorama. Here is Something You Feel.
Music is psychology. Something you feel.
I would like to comment on SFU athletics at this time. Three events occurred on August 17th. The American Volleyball Coaches Association released their preseason Terraflex NCAA Division II poll, where the Red Leafs were ranked 15th with 424 adjusted points. Where am I? Later on August 17th, the men's basketball started the Playmakers Camp for ages 15 to 18, and the Red Leafs women's soccer opened their preseason against the Calgary Dinos at Inlet Park in Port Moody, which was a scoreless drive, via the SFU women's soccer Instagram page. Two events occurred on August 18th. The Red Leafs volleyball were ranked first in the 2026 GNAC preseason poll with 90 points, just two ahead of the runner-up Central Washington. The men's soccer hosted the Quebec Trois-Rivières in Burnaby, where SFU won 3-1 with two goals from Aaron Garza and a goal from Derek Evil via the team's Instagram page. On August 19th, the swimming teams released their 2026-27 schedule via their Facebook and Instagram pages. Where am I? The Red Leafs will open their season against Biola University in La Mirada, California on September 25th, which will be a two-day duel, and will have their lone home date on February 20th, 2027, per renovations in the SFU swimming pool, from what I understand. On August 20th, star guard Teresa Gabriel was inducted into the Canadian Basketball Sports Hall of Fame, Class of 2026, at St. Stephen, New Brunswick, among 10 inductees, headlined by Jamal Magliori, who played in the NBA for 12 seasons, including for the Toronto Raptors in 2011. During her time with SFU, Teresa Gabriel, who now goes by Teresa Kleindiest, was a superstar guard, being named to the NAIA All-American in 1999-2000, when she also played for Team Canada in the Sydney Summer Olympics, and CIS All-Canadian in 2001-2002. In her final season, the 2001-02 campaign, Gabriel led SFU to an undefeated season at 35-0, capped off with the team's first championship when Gabriel scored 45 points against Trinity Western in 2002, which is the SFU single-season scoring record and still remains the Canada West playoff scoring record. After her time with SFU, Gabriel played professionally in Austria, Spain, and played for Team Canada in the London Summer Olympics in 2012, where she helped Canada to reach the quarterfinals for the first time ever, finishing 8th. Later on, the women's soccer visited Trinity Western at Chase Office Field in Langley. The Red Leafs opened the scoring in the 39th minute by Dariela Lopez, doubled their lead in the 68th minute, Cameron Stein, both on the Spartans keeper Yasmin Pahal, as the goaltending duo of Sofia Piperny, who played 72 minutes, and Tyra Gunnara in the last 18, helped SFU to blank Trinity Western 2-0 via the Spartans athletics page. On August 21st, the Red Leafs men's basketball concluded the players' camp for ages 15 to 18. Later on August 21st, the men's soccer played Langara in Port Moody. No scores are available. Let me take a look. Let me take a look if scores were available. That was... Oh. There was supposed to be a game on 21st. Yeah, there was supposed to be a game on 21st, but for some reason, I cannot find a score. Let me look at their Instagram page. Because the SFU Athletics page does not load up regulations... exhibition scores. Sorry, just bear with me here. No scores are available between Langara and SFU for August 21st. On August 22nd, the women's soccer announced on being part of the Michael Cuccioni Foundation's Kick for a Cure, where proceeds will go to the Michael Cuccioni Childhood Cancer Research Program at BC Children's Hospital via the team's Instagram page. Later on August 22nd, West Gym hosted the Balls Don't Stop Pro-Am Classic on the Burnaby main campus. Today sees the SFA women's soccer visiting Seattle University with the tip-off at Championship Field in Seattle at 4 p.m.
And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. Simon Fraser University, the 1960s. In the earliest days of SFU, a renegade unlicensed radio station begins broadcasting around campus. 1974. Volunteers establish the Simon Fraser Campus Radio Society, which operates CJSF to this day. 1985. The station obtains a cable license, bringing CJSF to a wider audience. And we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since. And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. During the 80s and the 90s, CJSF would come into its own as a serious platform for independent artists and a forum for people to express ideas not present in the mainstream media. Summer 2002. CJSF receives a license from the Canadian Radio Telecommunications Commission to broadcast over the FM airwaves. February 13th, 2003, 7 p.m. CJSF goes on air at 90.1 FM, and we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since.
I would like to feature the Northwest League at this time. Just a minute, please. I'll just pull up the scoring page. So that I don't get the scores wrong. Here we go. Three new series started on August 18th. The Vancouver Canadiens and Eugene Emeralds, Hillsboro Hobbs and Spokane Indians, and Edmonton Echo Sox at Tri-City Dust Devils in an all-Washington matchup. Vancouver jumped ahead 4-0 in the top of first, capped up by Maddox Lotta's three-run bomb off Jacob Brosnahan, but Cam Maldonado hit a 3-run jack in the bottom of third off Landon Marudas to bring Eugene within one. However, the Canadiens tacked on two runs in the fifth, started by Jake Casey's solo drive off Jacob Brosnahan, and Casey hit a 2-run shot off the Emeralds' Mauricio Estrella in the sixth, and Vancouver doubled up Eugene 10-5 as the Canadiens out-homered the Emeralds 3-1 at Piquet Park in Eugene, Oregon, the home of Oregon Ducks. Hillsboro and Spokane was a back-and-forth affair as the Hobbs put up a 5-run barrage in the top of 5th to go up 9-2, tacked on one run in the 6th, but the Indians started their comeback trail in the bottom half as Robert Callas' solo drive off Jacob Steinmetz started a 5-run rally, tied a game in the 8th on a Rocco Reed's wild pitch that plated Wilder Dalis, and Kevin Hidalgo smashed a 3-run bomb off Reed to cap off another 5-run assault as Spokane stunned Hillsboro 12-10 as the Indians out-homered the Hobbs 2-0 at Avista Stadium in Spokane Valley, Washington. And Tri-City jumped on Everett early with the Dust Devils' 8-run assault in the bottom of second, capped off by Kendry Maduro's 3-run jack off Reed Easterly, which was necessary as the Equa Sox started their comeback trail in the fourth with 3 runs, capped off by Matt Ellis' 2-run shot off Zach Redner, as Tri-City scored a run in the bottom half, followed by another 3 runs by Everett in the sixth, where Carlos Jimenez hit a 3-run bomb off Luke Schaefer, but Kendry Maduro hit a solo drive in the eighth off Wyatt Lunsford-Shankman, offsetting the Aqua Sox 2 runs in the ninth, as Tri-City bested Everett 12-9 despite getting out homered 2-1 at Gisa Stadium in Pasco, Washington. On August 19th, Eugene bested Vancouver 6-4 despite getting out homer 2-1, highlighted by the Emeralds' 5-run barrage in the bottom of third, capped off by Damian Bravo's 3-run jack off Silvano Hacaviria, which offset the Canadiens' Austin Smith. Two solo shots later in the game, first in the 7th off Matt Dunaway, and last in the 9th off Ryan Slater. Hillsboro defeated Spokane 5-2 despite being Hillsboro defeated Spokane 5-2 despite being out homer 2-1, highlighted by Kaysen Cunningham's 2-run double in the top of third. the eventual game-winning hit off Everett Catlett. And Tri-City shaded Everett 4-3 despite getting a homer 1-0, highlighted by the Dust Devils' 3-run rally in the bottom of 6, as Kevin Castillo's sacrifice fly off Caleb Frenzen that played at Ryan Nicholson was the winner. On August 20th, Vancouver and Eugene were in a back-and-forth affair, as Gene Joseph hit a 3-run bomb in the top of 4th of Henley Lalaine, tying the game at 4. The Canadiens jumped to a 6-4 lead in the 5th, where the Emeralds, Damian Bravo, hit a solo drive in the bottom half off Reese Fields. Vancouver scored a run in the 7th, but Eugene scored 2 in the bottom half, and Xander Darby smashed a 3-run jack off Jacob Eshleman in the 8th as the Emeralds bested the Canadiens 10-7 with a 2-1 edge in home runs. Hillsboro thumped Spokane 9-0, highlighted by the Hawks' 5-run barrage in the top of 4th, capped off by Wallace Clark's 2-run shot off Aiden May, the lone home run in the game, followed by another 4 runs in the 5th against the Indians. And Everett jumped on Tri-City early with a 6-run assault in the top of 1st, capped off by Cesar Quintas' 3-run bomb, followed by Carlos Jimenez's solo drive in the 2nd, both off Jefferson Vargas, whose Dust Devils got on board in the bottom half. Sam Alford hit a 3-run jack in the 4th to get 3. Sam Alford hit a 3-run jack in the 4th to get within 3 of the Echo Sox, who scored 3 runs in the 5th, capped up by Luis Zuibel's 3-run bomb off Luke Cooper as Everett exercised Tri-City 11-5 with a 3-2 edge in home runs. On August 21st, Vancouver and Eugene were in a slugfest as the Canadiens went up 7-6 in the top of 6 on a Jake Casey's 2-run shot off Mauricio Estrella, but the Emeralds scored 2 runs in the bottom half to go up 8-7, while Vancouver went up 9-8 in the 7th on a Dariel Ramon's 2-run double off Liam Simon. Eugene tied the game at 9 in the 8th on a Cam Melodonnell's ground rule double, which forced extras, where Jake Casey hit his second home run of the night in the 10th, a 3-run jack off Ryan Slater, and the Canadiens bested the Emeralds 12-10 with a 3-1 edge in home runs. Spokane sextupled Hillsboro 6-1, highlighted by the Indians' 3-run rallies in the bottom of 2nd and 8th against the Hawks. And Everett at Tri-City was a back-and-forth affair, as both traded a run each in the 7th, but the Aqua Sox tied the game at 4 in the 8th on their 3rd home run, Luis Suiswell's solo drive off Luke Schaefer off the Dust Devils, which ultimately forced extras, where Peter Burns hit a game-ending one-run single off Wyatt Lunsford-Shankman, playing Jorge Ruiz, and Tri-City walked off Everett 5-4 in 10 innings despite getting out-homered 3-0. On August 22nd, Vancouver shellacked Eugene 9-3, highlighted by the Canadiens' 5-run barrage in the top of 3rd, capped off by Max Vieira's grand slam off Luis De La Torre, followed by Damian Bravo's 3-1 jack off the Emeralds' Hubert Mejia in the 8th, the last of 2 home runs in the night. Just a minute. Just want to see if the names are correct. Oh, no, that's not. No. I got the name wrong. Sorry, that the last home run by the Canadiens was from Maddox Lara, who hit a 3-run bomb off the Emeralds' Hubert Mejia. Just a minute, please. Okay, where am I? Everett and Tri-City were in a back-and-forth affair for the second night in a row, as the Aqua Sox scored 4 runs in the top of 6, capped off by Axel Sanchez's 3-run bomb off Zach Redner, but the Dust Devils scored 3 in the bottom half on 2 home runs, started by Kevin Castillo's 2-run variety and finished by Ryan Zabrowski's solo shot, both of Kellen Frenzen, to cut the deficit to 6-4. Everett restored their 4-run lead in the 7th on Austin St. Laurent's 2-run double off Benny Thompson, which offset Tri-City's 2 runs in the 8th, and the Echo Sox bested the Dust Devils 8-6 despite getting out homered 2-1. And Hillsboro and Spokane were in a back-and-forth barn burner, with the Indians inflicting an 8-run assault in the bottom of 1st, along with a run in the 2nd. But the Hops comeback trail started in the 3rd with 3 runs, started by J.D. Dix's 2-run shot off Angel Jimenez, followed by a 5-run rally in the 4th to tie the game at 9, which Spokane answered in the bottom half on Alan Espinal's solo drive of Johanyo Gonzalez. And Hillsboro tied a game in the 6th on Ivan Luciano's 3rd double of the night off Tyler Hampu. With the score at 11 apiece, the Hops broke through in the 8th with 3 runs on Abidas De La Cruz's 3-run jack off Dylan Crooks, followed by Chris Cates' solo shot off Isaac Kupet in the 9th, which more than offset the Indians' 2 runs in the bottom half, as Hillsboro bested Spokane in a 15-13 slugfest, with both sides hitting 3 home runs each. 3 games are on tap today. Vancouver continues in Eugene. Hillsboro renews in Spokane Valley, both at 1:05 p.m., and Everett resumes in Pasco against Tri-City at 7:05 p.m. All times are Pacific.
CJSF is looking for new volunteers to come in and make radio. No experience is necessary. You can learn to DJ, edit sound, produce news, make posters, and host your own show. Come out to a weekly station orientation to get involved. Orientation times can be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Here are the current standings in the Northwest League, which is in the second half. The Vancouver Canadiens, an affiliate for the Toronto Blue Jays, are first at 30-23. The Eugene Emeralds, an affiliate for the San Francisco Giants, and the first half division winner, are second at 29-23. The Everett Aqua Sox, an affiliate for the Seattle Mariners, are third at 27-26. The Spokane Indians, an affiliate for the Colorado Rockies, are fourth at 25-27. The Tri-City Dust Devils, an affiliate for the Los Angeles Angels, which play out of Anaheim, are 5th at 24-29. And the Hillsboro Hops, an affiliate for the Arizona Diamondbacks, are last at 23-30.
If you're a regular listener of this show or other shows on CJSF, we'd love to hear from you. Tell us about what you like and why you like it, as well as ways we can improve our programming. To leave comments, please email cjsfprog@sfu.ca or call 778-782-4423. This information can also be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Welcome back. The third act is Cage Animals Make Strange Friends. The tune is Balloon Heaven.
I remember you playing your tune. You flew to heaven on a balloon. Lights were low on Avenue A. I stared in space and I listened to you play. Stoned eyes and a gap tooth grin, laughing every minute through the house lights dim. With strange joy dancing off of those strings, cheap mandolin.
Music and podcasts from CGSF 90.1 FM with our radio app. It's on-the-go listening made easy. You can tune into all our music, spoken word, and multicultural shows using your device. Our app lets you set reminders so you'll never miss your favorite show again. Stay connected to CGSF 90.1 FM through our community radio app. Download the app from the Apple Store or get it on Google Play.
Who doesn't love music? Join the weekly discussion at the CJSF Record Club with other music aficionados checking out new releases and forgotten classics, exploring and learning about genres and loving music. Every Thursday at CJSF Burnaby from 4 p.m. till 5 p.m. Listen, learn, and share.
Welcome to the second half of episode 34 in the 2026 Steve Chong Show.